The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And I'd like to welcome Ms. Alkins to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, why you decided to start writing. What was school like?
Okay, so I'm from Trinidad. I've lived in various parts of Trinidad. I went to St. Joseph's Convent, went on to UWE Mona, and I studied communications with a specialization in multimedia. And returning on to into Trinidad, I went into publications at Macro Magazine, and then I branched off onto my own, in 2009, and started my studio called Everything Slide Pepper. It's a graphic design studio. We do branding, packaging, and works. We've worked across various industries, and in 2014, I started the journey of writing children's books.
Ah, very nice. So I just want to go back to the name of the agency was Everything Slide Pepper.
Yes.
I like that. I like that name. So yes. From that, you decided to do children's books. Why children's books?
Well, it's quite interesting. It ties into the discussion you were just having about Columbus and rewriting our stories.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind the kids' brand, it's called Bright Eyed, and it's to tell our stories for ourselves from our perspectives about us.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we know about us, the more things we celebrate about us, is the more we will have that feeling of pride. So the idea behind the first book was to celebrate the leatherback turtles. Having worked in the industry, I realized how huge this topic was outside of Trinidad, but we have it happening on our North Coast shores, and we take it for granted, or we don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So creating the story in a easy to digest way, I went the route of children's books because I had worked with Marshall on the Boy Boy and the Magic Drum book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked doing that kind of design. So I said, hey, I can branch into telling other stories of little things around us that I feel like we take for granted or we just don't know. So the second book, which is the Alex the Awesome and the Crazy Quest of the Golden Pod, is a super important story. It's the story of chocolate. But the story that we've learned about chocolate is about European chocolates being fine chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
And us foreign chocolates, but all the cocoa in the world grows within a 30 degree band of the equator.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's only countries like tropical countries like ours, Africa, India, and all the countries that where cocoa grows are not the countries that are celebrated for cocoa. We're celebrated for chocolate. So telling the story that without the cocoa from us, not any chocolate in the world would exist.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think Trinidad has the privilege of having one of the best specimens or variations of that cocoa that goes into that chocolate.
Yeah, so we have an amazing cocoa research facility here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of work done in cocoa to perfect the beans. So we have the Trinitario, which is birthed here, which
mm-hmm.
is a hybrid of two types of beans made to be more productive and more pest resistant, which is why it has it's used globally. But all of that story, you know, you hear about Belgian chocolates and Swiss chocolates, and you know, we know chocolates
mm-hmm.
everywhere, everybody knows chocolate. But do you know without a bean from our countries, there would be no chocolates?
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the process to do research for books like that, where the knowledge can be passed on to them. What goes into making that research? Or is it like going to the library and you sit down and you tediously go through the books, take notes? What is it like?
So typically I would contact somebody who is a topic expert. I mean, I can't do everything. I'm mm-hmm. generally the creative director. So I come up with the idea of, generally I'm the person that asks, what, you know, why does this exist or how did this get here? And that seed starts to see the idea, and then I come up with the concept to tie the story into a plot. And then I can tag somebody who is a topic expert. So for example, with the cocoa story, I would have contacted a wide variety of farmers, chocolatiers, local, Sarah Barth, who works in cocoa, the Cocoa Research Center. I would have contacted the experts and gotten the information from them. Then as well, done a ton of reading, any books that exist on the topic. I would have had somebody to work alongside me, and we would have compiled all the information, and I would read all of that and try to pick out, you know, what are the important parts of what I want to tell in the story, not just the process of making the cocoa, but as I mentioned, you know, really situating the story in the rainforest of Trinidad and Tobago, the Caribbean, and other cocoa producing countries, to emphasize that so much value it goes into the bean before it reaches in a chocolate maker's kitchen. So, you know, the center, I kind of identify what's the main point I want to hit home with. And we spend a lot of the time in the story just driving towards that. So 80% of the book takes place on the cocoa estate, which is a very skewed ratio compared to other books about chocolate, where most of it takes place in the kitchen, right? But that's led objective of telling our story and shifting the value onto our farmers and our cocoa estate.
So this would be Alex the Awesome and the Crazy Quest for the Golden Pod.
Yes, because Alex is a spy agent, a gooty, who lives on...
I'm sorry, this sounds so cute.
The spy agent, a gooty, who lives on a cocoa estate, and he is convinced that something happens to the pods after they are and prepped and taken away from the estate.
And Ready, Set, Hatch, what is that one about?
So Hatch is a leatherback turtle,
right,
hatchling, who is born on a beach somewhere in the North Coast. So basically, the story tells of the mother coming onto the sand to lay the eggs. She has the eggs, and Hatch is the first to crack out of his nest, crack out of his egg, and trying to make his way out of the nest down the sea to the shore. However, a nearby river changes its course and floods the nest. So he loses his position from first to back in the puddle with everybody, and they all have to figure out how they can work together to get out the nest and get down to the sea.
And that gives a perspective of how much the hatchlings really do go through, from, you know, the mother coming on shore, the laying of the eggs, and then the, I guess, the quest for the waters, you know, and the predators and so on that are just actually just waiting there. So we could understand why it's an endangered species as well, you know, to get that story out of the, you know, to get it to them, to make them aware. And The Most Magnificent, what is that about?
So The Most Magnificent is about the 7 buildings around the Queen's Park Savannah, known as the Magnificent 7. The premise of the book is that the buildings have had an argument over who is the most magnificent. They argue about their age, they argue about what they look like, and then they argue about the people that lived inside them and what they did. To come to a conclusion, essentially, that they are each magnificent in their own special way. So it was a way of teaching about the Magnificent 7 buildings in a fun, easy to digest way that people could relate to. I mean, this was the first of the 3 that really felt intergenerational, in that I've had people talk about buying it for kids and buying it for adults at the same time, even though it's a picture book, just because it gave you a lot of information in an easy to read way.
And it gives a perspective on the conservation of those buildings as well, you know, to pass on that message. Do you have any other books in the works? And from a creative director perspective, can you tell us a little bit about the process of how you go from the concept on paper to the finished product?
So we do have another book. It's launching on October 20th this year. It's called Play a Mass, and it's about traditional mass. the characters that play traditional masks, the characters that live on our streets, from vendors to howly music, the rituals, everything around that side of Trinidad and Tobago Carnival. So again, the idea is to tell stories behind characters that we see popping up everywhere, but really do we know their origin stories? So that's the next project we have coming out in October. And then to answer your question about creative direction. So, I mean, we start with a lot of research, right? Generally speaking, I have 8 target areas that I'm trying to tell stories, our stories from our perspective, be it sports, music, animals, sites, gosh, I can't remember right now, folklore, culture, heritage, right? So I just feel like we don't have enough of our content to consume from a young age. You know, yes, we have stuff in school and we do social studies, but it's all in this testing environment that doesn't make it feel enjoyable. And I'm trying to create products that make you excited about going to visit the Karani Swamp or going to explore the island. So that's the objective behind the brand. And from a creative process, once we start from there, it's like, how can we tell this story differently? So we look at what the topic is, a ton of research, try to see what's not already told, and then try to come up with a storyline that will resonate or excite a young audience. So for example, the buildings, you know, just talking about these old buildings, these old mansions, why we should keep them, you know, would not have resonated as much as them having an argument over who is the most magnificent, which is something anybody could identify with. So finding an identifiable plot is one of the central parts of our process. And then adding a lot of color to the characters and personality to the story as a way of, you know, almost burying the lesson is a method that is a balance I've been working on over the years. I mean, and then it's radio, so I can't show you the pictures, but I focus heavily on highly graphic, very beautiful illustrations, a product that you would say, hey, look foreign, which we should not be saying, it just looks good. But creating something that is beautiful to look at as well, engaging to read, is the objective.
And I guess that gives as you say, a look that would be appealing to the kids. Because for some reason, kids are not very drawn to physical books anymore. You know, I know that from moving from the physical book to online, you know, that they tend to want to have that Kindle or however they see it online now. Is there a version of your books that would be in that direction?
Because of the age of my age group right now, I don't do ebooks or Kindle books because it's picture books, so it doesn't translate very well. But what I am exploring is more along the audiobook side and video, because while kids don't necessarily read like how they used to, they do listen to stories though. And you know, even if you think about in terms of your videos you watch or YouTube and these kind of things, a lot of it is listening to stories. So I do like that. I think that's an exciting possibility for narrated stories, because being read to is also part of the joy of reading, and I'm trying to bring that back
and changing the perspective on literature altogether, you know, bringing it back to being fashionable. And in terms of moving from your, you said the current age group is what age?
So the books generally, the Turtle book is a little bit younger, but I am creating products for kids 3 to about 10.
Mm-hmm. So
do
you
next
Do you see yourself? Sorry, go ahead.
Next book is a little wider. It can be enjoyed by a wider cross section of ages. So I would say like 3 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so visual. If you are not reading or children cannot read yet, they can still pick out things in the pictures and you can have conversations with them.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as another... her name just went out of my head. Harry Potter, no? Do you suffer? J.K. Rowling. Do you see yourself entering those realms?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm going in that direction of also I'm old school, but I'm new school as well.
Mm-hmm. We caught in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. Middle, trying to balance. I'm not opposed to technology because I'm actually a child of technology. Having my family's business is in computers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always tech inclined, and my brothers work there. But I'm very analog because I love books. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hand and craft and stuff. So the products I'm trying to create kind of merge the two, where I'm saying, yes, let's celebrate, you know, having a kid in your lap and flipping the pages of a book. But I'm looking for ways now of how do we bring technology into it so that when they go on YouTube, it's not only watching foreign stuff, you know, they can watch our stories as well. So I'm really trying to build out a product that can go global and lives beyond just the pages of the book. So yes.
All right, well, good luck to you. I know that with all the processes coming together, it will be a fantastic journey. I want to thank you so much, Ms. Atkins, for coming and speaking to us about your venture into writing. And best of luck to you. And when the new book is out, you know, the first place to come to talk about it.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, TNT. Have a great day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.